الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, the fundamental concept in Islam, if somebody asks me what is the fundamental concept in Islam, I will say that it is not even worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Not even worship of one God. The fundamental concept of Islam is accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of whether it is one God or whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone or more or whatnot. Many things are found in many religions, but the issue of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am personally accountable for my actions, for everything I say or everything I do or everything I choose not to say and not to do, I will be called to account. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will be shown, yara, you will be shown the actions that you did, whatever you did, even to the extent of an adharra. Adharra is translated as many things, mustard seed and small grain or size of an atom or whatnot. The point being that something which is the minutest of them, you will be shown what you did of evil or good on the day of judgment. Nothing but nothing will be hidden, nothing but nothing will escape being brought into that account sheet. This concept of personal accountability is the fundamental concept of Islam. Now, why is that important? If you see today, one of the greatest tragedies is the genocide of the Rohingya people, which is going on as we speak. And there is this global learned helplessness, global masquerading and pretension of helplessness to stop something which is easily stoppable. It is not even something that will take a lot of time or, you know, resources. It's easily stoppable, but it's not being stopped. Now, take that. Go back in history. We use this term, we use these words or these sentences or phrases without thinking. We say that Hitler killed 6 million Jews. You say that Yazid killed Hussein bin Ali radiallahu anhu. And you say that Genghis Khan killed so many people, and so on and so on. And Genghis Khan actually killed people because he was a warrior, he fought in wars. But if you go and do as much research as you want, Hitler did not kill a single fly. So when you say 6 million Jews, Hitler did not kill anybody, simple as that. Hitler never committed murder. So why do you blame Hitler? Hitler gave an order. Yazid was not even there in Karbala where Hussein bin Ali radiallahu anhu was killed when he was Shaheed, and many members of his family were killed. Yazid was in Baghdad, or Yazid was in Damascus. He wasn't even there. How could he have killed him? But why do we say he killed him? All that he did, all that Hitler did, all that whoever is, whatever that woman's name is, Aung San Suu Kyi or whatnot, I refuse to take the trouble to pronounce it properly. What are these people? How do you say they are responsible? They are responsible because they gave an order. Islam says every single individual is responsible for his or her own personal actions. Now imagine a situation where Hitler gives an order saying, kill these people, or whatever order he gave. And the German soldiers were there, the SS and so on. The soldier says, sorry, I am not going to shoot, or I am not going to gas, or I am not going to kill this person just because they are Jewish. I will not do it. Hypothetically, just imagine that situation. What will happen? You will find Hitler, maybe he will run from soldier to soldier and fall at his feet and beg him and say, please, 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 kill this guy, kill this guy. Or maybe Hitler will take the gun from the soldier's hand and shoot the person themselves. Other than that, what can happen? Tell me. Can 6 million people die? Not even one will die. Forget about 6 million. Not even one single person would have been killed if it wasn't for the fact that followers obeyed the orders, the unlawful orders of their superiors without thinking. Now, why do people do that? People do that because they believe that somehow if they are following orders, the responsibility is not theirs. Every single soldier who killed a Jewish person under Hitler, every single Israeli soldier who is shooting Palestinians, who are shooting Palestinian pregnant women in the belly and saying we killed two in one, who are shooting Palestinian children, every single Burmese soldier, or whoever, Burmese Buddhist monks, who is slaughtering Rohingya Muslim men, women and children, every single one of them, and take it, you don't have to go to the exact thing and say, no, but so and so is a bachelor, but I'm saying almost all of them, or every single one of them, has a mother, has a father, has a wife, has a child, has a cousin, has a nephew, has somebody in their own home. They have a cat, they have a dog, they have a parrot, they love, they look after, they take care. You go ask the parrot, what do you think about this person? He'll say, oh, such a nice person. So, oh, wonderful, never, makes me miss a meal and always takes care of me. You ask the cat, you ask the dog, you ask their children. These are human beings. It's not as if they are completely devoid of all mercy, they're completely devoid of love, they're completely devoid of every positive feeling, they are the embodiments of evil. It's not like that. Yet the same person, you have America's drone assassination program, which is run out of some desert somewhere in the US. You have these guys, there are films actually made on this, where the people doing it. Somewhere now suddenly the conscious wakes up and the guy is going into a nervous breakdown because he suddenly realizes, what is it I am doing? He's sitting there doing what looks like a computer game, but actually people are dying somewhere, thousands of miles away. Is this what technology is for? To kill people at a distance. So every single one of these actions is happening because somebody somewhere refuses to own responsibility for themselves. And they are living under this false belief that just because I can say I followed orders, I will be absolved of responsibility. Islam says, no, sorry, doesn't work like that. Does not work like that. This is the issue of Islam, and this is the fundamental principle of Islam. That is why the Mushrikeen of Makkah, they did not fight the concept of worship of one God. They did not fight the concept of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, no problem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worship only Allah. They said, sure, no problem. We'll do it. We'll make Allah the head god of all our gods. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, you can't do that. You have to worship Allah alone. It's okay. All these rest of these gods, they are not gods. They just help us to get close to Allah. We are not worshipping them. We are asking them to make dua for us or this and that. What stuck in their throat was the issue of accountability. They said, how is it possible that we will die and then we will be resurrected and then we will be called to account? وَقَالُوا أَيْذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they say that how can we be resurrected after we have died and become one with the mud and the dust and the earth? Verily and truly, they are denying the meeting with their Rabb. This was the issue. Until today, this is the issue. Emotional maturity consists of accepting ownership for yourself. That's it. This is my marriage. I am responsible. This is my body. I am responsible. If I don't want to spend time on fitness, I am going to be spending the same time on sickness. It's not a question of somebody, this, that, no, nothing. It's my body. I am responsible. The other day, like I said, the lady who told me who lost a huge amount of weight, I said, how did you lose this weight? She said, I realized that this is my mouth. Eh? The day, is it productive or not productive? It's my day, it is my time. He did this, she did that, there are so many messages on the phone. It is my phone. It has an off button. It has a silent button. It can be thrown into the garbage. You do what you want. It's a question of... So when we own responsibility for ourselves, the world becomes a different place. But if we want to continue to live our lives like immature little children and keep on exporting blame, believe me, as far as our situation with Allah is concerned, nothing changes. You can export all the blame in the world you want, it doesn't go anywhere. It sits with you. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be responsible, as simple as that. And then before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot say, he made me do this, she made me do that, so and so gave an order, I was following orders, the world is like this, so long karte, maich kara kya? Woh sab nahi hota. So long karte honge, nahi karte honge, that is not the issue. The issue is, did you do it? Yes. Then you are responsible. Both good and bad. I am not talking only about the bad. Take for example the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, many times people have this this question. If you tell them, why don't you do this? Main akela kara to hota kya? What is the good of me doing alone? The whole world is doing something else. Think about the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu came to Islam in his teens. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Medina as his representative. Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu stayed in Medina. He preached Islam. Almost all the major leaders of the Ansar became Muslim on the hand of this teenager, Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. And then Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu fought in Badr. And then in the Battle of Uhud, Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu was shaheed. He died. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about a time when Islam had not even gone out of Medina. Makkah was not Muslim. Makkah was with the Quraysh. Islam was even restricted to one little village in the middle of the boondocks. So did Musab ibn Umair see the spread of Islam globally and the victory of Islam? Nothing. He came to Islam, he lived his whole life working for Islam, and he died without seeing the fruition or without seeing his labors come to any level of completion or nothing. And I can give you a list of many other Sahaba like this for whom the story is the same. They did not see the victory of Islam. And why did they work? Why did they work? They were not stupid people. You know, we think we are very intelligent. The Sahaba were not stupid. They were also intelligent people. Why did they work? I can give you many names of Sahaba who continued to work and who died before seeing the victory of Islam. But I do not know of any Sahabi who started and gave up. I said, nahi hota hai, kya laga? This doesn't happen. It won't happen. You know, I'm trying very hard, but I mean, I tried all these days, all these years, trying to tell people, come to the masjid, come to the masjid, nobody comes, doesn't matter. Hum bhi chodo, kahi jana. nobody comes, why should I go? Nobody said this. Not one single one of them said it. They continued, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mashiyat and in His wisdom, Allah gave victory. The whole of Jaziratul Arab became Muslim, and then we know all the history of how Islam spread. Alhamdulillah, it's there all over the world. The credit goes to those people who continued the effort despite seeing no result in their own lives. Why did they do that? Because of their own understanding, their own emotional maturity, their own ownership of their responsibility as individuals. Whatever happens or does not happen, I have a responsibility and I will fulfill my responsibility, knowing that I am accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. What is happening around me is not going to affect me. It is not going to prevent me from doing what I know to be right. Even if I am the only man standing for the truth, especially if I am the only man standing for the truth, I must stand for the truth. Even more important if you are the only one. It's not the other way around. Because if you are the only one, and even if and that time, if even you don't stand for the truth, then who will stand for the truth? When Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi was arrested and taken to the Khalifa, and he was tortured, and he was thrown in prison, and he was beaten, he was lashed, all because they were trying to force him, the Mu'tazila were trying to force him to say that the Quran is a created thing and it is not the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, one of the muftis, scholars for dollars were always there. So one of the muftis of the court, he came to Imam Ahmad and he said, why are you undergoing, look at this, you are undergoing so much of torture and pain. And Imam Ahmad was old at that time. He said, why are you undergoing all of this? Why don't you say that the Quran is a creature, is a created thing, and then later on you can withdraw that statement and say that I was forced to say it. Imam Ahmad said, if even I do this, then where will it stop? He was the Khatib of Masjid Nabawi, he was a great Imam, he was a great Muhaddith. And why were they torturing him? Because they knew his importance. They knew that if he accepts this, then we have won. Imagine, one single man held the might of the Banu Umayyah Khilafah, the might of the Mu'tazila, at bay and did not allow that to happen. One single man. Bidhillahi ta'ala, by the quote of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullahi alayhi in India, when Akbar declared Deen Ilahi, right? And he declared himself as the Nabi, one single man stood for the issue of Rasulullah being Khatimun Nabiyyin, and that there is no Nabi after Rasulullah. One single man. The entire might of the Mughal Empire, they could not move him. And you know and I know who prevailed. That is the thing that I remind myself and you for. To say that stand for the truth, because one day you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be asked what happened. You will be asked, what did you do? What did you do? And that's the reason why we have to stand for the truth, even if and especially if we are the only ones who are standing for that truth. That is the meaning of emotional maturity. That is the fundamental principle of Islam, the principle of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand this and to live by this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us and forgive us when we meet Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.